But I wanted to kind of describe the state of our union presently with two sentences. There arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done. And the second one is, when the judge died, they would turn back and act more corruptly than their fathers. It breaks my heart, maybe yours too, when I see some of the stuff going on in our country and the direction it's heading, and, you know, to the point of, you know, going back and forth between tears and wanting to get up with a stick and take care of business. Maybe you feel that way too. That's why we had that one verse this morning about anger. You know, the anger of man doesn't achieve the righteousness of God. We need to remember that one. Anyway, see what these two statements can do this morning as we look at it and let it direct our hearts. If you'll turn with me back into the Old Testament to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. This morning's passages, we're going to be starting out in about 1000 BC, reading from Judges, and we're going to move forward in time to the New Testament. We'll be landing and finishing up in 70 AD. So this is quite the span, and it's largely focused on God's people, chosen people, Israel, and as a result, us. This morning's message starts out where God is essentially rebuking Israel, the nation of Israel, for their unfaithfulness. Are you there in Judges 2?
Amen.
All right, we'll begin with verse 10. And this is where that first sentence came from. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work he had done for Israel. Verse 11, and the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them and bowed down to them. And they provoked the Lord to anger, and they abandoned the Lord and served the Baals and Ashtaroth. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them over to the plunderers, who plundered them. And he sold them into the hand of their surrounding enemies so that they could no longer withstand their enemies. Whenever they marched out, the hand of the Lord was against them for harm, as the Lord had warned. And as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were in terrible distress. 16. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hand of those who had plundered them. Yet they did not listen to their judges, for they whored after other gods and bowed down to them. They soon turned aside from the way in which their fathers had walked, who had obeyed the commandments of the Lord, and they did not do so. Whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge, and he saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who afflicted and oppressed them. But whenever the judge died, they turned back and they were more corrupt than their fathers, going after gods, other gods, serving them and bowing down to them. They did not drop any of their practices or their stubborn ways. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he said, because this people have transgressed my covenant that I commanded their fathers, and have not obeyed my voice, I will no longer drive out before them. I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations that Joshua left when he died, in order to test Israel by them, whether they will take care to walk in the way of the Lord as their fathers did or not. So the Lord left those nations, not driving them out quickly, and he did not give them into the hand of Joshua. There's some background in here, obviously, and you may be aware of it, but when Moses had freed Israel, the nation of Israel, from slavery in Egypt, and they were wandering around the wilderness, and they were headed towards the promised land that God had promised them. They were to go across the river, and right at the last minute, you know, Moses got told by God, you are not crossing the river, you're not leading them in, and he raised up Joshua to do that. And they were told, when they went into this land of Canaan that God had given to Abraham forever, that they were to go around and drive the peoples out of this land, and he gave each tribe, each of the 12 tribes, a portion of this land of Canaan, which is what we know as Israel today. And yet, the problem was, these people in the land that they were going into, that they were to drive out, were idol worshippers. And Joshua and the rest of the nation did not follow God's command to the point he said. And they left some peoples in that land. And so God is saying he left them there. And they were going to be a test to Israel, a challenge to Israel, to see if, to show them themselves, whether they would obey God and continue to follow his commands, or whether they would start to go after these other false gods. And they were told not to intermarry with these other tribes because of that reason, that they would start following false gods. And yet, in fact, that is what they did. So we see, as we kind of skim through this small section of verses, that Israel abandoned the Lord, that they began to follow other gods. They provoked the anger of the Lord. And God gave them into the hand of plunderers, and he left these false religions, these idolatry practices, there to test Israel. And of course, they did not pass the test. It said that he would raise up a judge for them. And when he did, you know, they would begin to follow the commands and do as their fathers did. But as the judge died out, each generation got successively more immoral, more violent, more adulterous. And that was the path of the nation of Israel. And later on, they ended up in captivity. So, what did God do with his anger? It says he was angry at the nation. And how did Israel respond? Let's continue on in chapter 3 of Judges, verses 1 through 8. Now these are the nations that the Lord left to test Israel by them. That is, all in Israel who had not experienced all the wars in Canaan. It was only in order that the generations of the people of Israel might know war and to teach war to those who had not known it before. These are the nations, the five lords of the Philistines and all the Canaanites, the Sidonians and Hivites who lived in Mount Lebanon and from Baal Ermon as far as Lebo Hamath. They were there for the testing of Israel to know whether Israel would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he had commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. So the people of Israel lived among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And their daughters they took to themselves for wives, and their own daughters they gave to their sons, and they served their gods.
Why does it always go that way?
And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God, and served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the people of Israel served Cushan 8 years. You know, Scripture tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And Scripture also tells us that these things are written down for our learning.
Question. So we heard Astaroth mentioned a couple of times in this chapter. We all know who Baal is from Elijah and all of that. Who's Astaroth in this context?
Baal is basically a sun god, and Astaroth is a moon god. And interestingly enough, both of them are still being worshipped today, if you can imagine. So that's what they were. And they had little idols made and little statues, and they would go out in wood groves and things like that to do their worship. And the worship was particularly ugly. There was all kinds of sexual practice and fornication within the worship service. That was how they worshiped. So you can begin to see why God was just a little bit angry.
Worship the creation instead of the creator.
Yes. And even more so, they make their own gods out of a tree or a stone. And interestingly, here in America, God working through people and the government and what have you has allowed false religions to set up and rule here in America. You know, we have gotten to the point as a country where we aren't one nation under one God. There are, throughout the government, false gods ruling over us. I don't want to dwell on that because this morning's message is going to end up with a high note, but we need to learn from history. We need to learn from the past to be able to see the truth, what is really going on, and how are we going to be Jesus' hands and feet in this era that we live in. Because we cannot change the way history is heading. God has set things in motion, and He's told us in His Word the things that are going to happen. And so we've got to be working where God is and doing what He wants us to do.
Well, we're going to have the false prophet leading us.
We already have
him
here.
You know, that sounds really like
a false prophet.
Where I work, there's, I'll just say, a certain other religion, and they talk amongst themselves. They have positions of leadership in that. And I've also noticed, met a lot of Christians, but we're kind of disorganized. And I've seen some, like, been forced out and leaving and not have much of a voice. And yet those false religions, like, proselytize within there. They try to do it with me. Mm-hmm. They try to do it just all in there, and it's like confusion. I don't know, it just doesn't seem. I've always thought, you know, Lord, I mean, almost the same thing. I don't know what it is, but
well,
you know, people of God should have, it says He gave us a spirit of power and wisdom and sound mind.
Amen.
And you don't always see it at play, and it's just like, why? You know, why? Mm-hmm. And yet these false religions, they have some power, and they're proselytizing, and they're corrupting, and, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you see it nowadays.
Oh, absolutely. And this is why that statement is out, is there rose up a generation who did not know the Lord. Amen? You know, there's people our children's age and our grandchildren's age have been raised up, and they don't know the Lord. I've been shocked, and maybe you have too. Maybe you've run into somebody. I've been doing jail ministry, and I'm meeting with a guy who, you know, certainly claims he wasn't guilty, but he was in jail. Didn't know Jesus at all. You know, there's a generation that just don't know. And the point of the matter, the thing which you're catching on to here, Javier, is that America is mimicking historical Israel. Just look at a short period of time. In 1776, the founding fathers set up a Judeo-Christian nation with the Constitution that clearly speaks forth of God, our Creator. And then, rolling forward in history, in 1973, abortion is legalized by our judges. the judges that are over us. In 2003, the sodomy laws were no longer enforced or repealed. They were repealed. By 2015, same-sex marriage is legalized by our judges. In 2020, just within the last couple of weeks, sex and gender was redefined to include behavior and belief by our judges. And in 2020, the church agreed to shut its door, quit meeting, and limit its attendance. And in 2020, the rioting and anarchy is launched, and it's encouraged and it's facilitated. So we have to ask the question, what has God done with his anger? We see what he did with his anger back in 1000 BC. What has he done with his anger now? Turn with me to Romans 1.
I'm waiting for you to watch that. For sure. I'm watching to see how you're going to pull this one out. Romans what?
Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 28. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Romans 1, 28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Wow. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. And they are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them.
Wow.
I ask you, is this not a valid description of where we're at in society in this day and age? And isn't it reflective of what we read in Judges back in 1000 BC? They abandoned God. They took up other gods and began to worship them. So we have an assignment. Assignment from God. Assignment as maybe a member of the church here. And that is, we have a generation that does not know about Jesus and what he's done for us. And unfortunately, many Christians are in the America or across the world are participating and approving of same-sex marriage, homosexuality, abortion, adultery, very common. Nobody thinks twice about moving in and having a child, not even getting married, transgender issues and many non-Christian beliefs. And God is speaking to them, to us, about this. And he's saying, we just read that in Romans 1, what is going on? Amazing Grace Community Church is going on 9 years old now. And we have never been one to shy away from controversy or trouble. I don't know, I think maybe we revel in it. But God has put us in this church here, you know, not to just come and have a good time worshiping God. You know, this is a spiritual battle. And as we sang, there's going to be this time where we're going to be divided on the right and the left. You know, sheep and goats. And we need to decide which side are we standing on. And there are people out there that are going to, you know, they're going to die. They're going to physically die. They're going to spiritually die. And, you know, God, to an extent, is going to hold us accountable for what we did with his salvation that he gave us. So, you know, what this church agrees to do, what we agree upon, is that we are not going to condone or participate in what is being done. It is sin. Plain and simple. We cannot rewrite God's word. It is sin.
Yes.
We need to develop a backbone and a steadfast faith. We should mind our own temple and do the Lord's work and nurture our faith. If we aren't strong in our faith, when we encounter other gods that are speaking through other people, we're going to be toast. We're going to be chewed up and spit out. We need to minister to the hearts of the unsaved. We need to show grace. This is not a call to go out with sticks and swords and angry voices and rip people up. We need to go show grace and love and mercy. It's the kindness of God that brings us to repentance. Let us be like that. Let us be kind and bring these people to repentance. We're going to gently share the truth of sin to the unsaved. We're going to try to save the few that we can. And those are the ones that God brings us into contact with. And mostly and strongly, we are going to teach the children about Jesus.
Amen.
You know, this vacation Bible camp that we do every year, I mean, that's full-on spiritual warfare, and it's hard. It's hard. I remember the first year that Donna Ash was leading the children, and I said, we're going to do a vacation Bible camp. What? And we're going to literally camp out here. So we did, man, it was a lot of work. So we're not going to stop because we cannot be complicit in raising up a generation that doesn't know Jesus. We want to make sure that the kids in Aspen Springs know about Jesus.
Pastor, for anybody, for children and adults, you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone in less than 5 minutes. That is all it takes. It is that simple.
Amen.
Certain simple little colors.
Come to Vacation Bible Camp, help out, and you'll learn.
Great.
So as a church body, as a family, we agree to continue to invite people to come to church, and especially children. It's okay if the parents bring their children and just drop them off. You know, I mean, I know inside we're getting it. Irritated with the parents, well, let's get the kids in to start with, and let's share Jesus with them. We should not be afraid to invite people to church. You know, I know a lot of the society is putting down church and saying you shouldn't be open, you shouldn't be meeting, and you shouldn't be singing, and whatever. Do not be afraid to invite people to church.
Don't worry.
I read all the time in the little magazines I get from Samaritan's Purse, the Christmas shoe boxes, one child learns about Jesus, and a whole family will turn to Jesus and leave their other religion behind.
And let us be doing the same thing.
All the time. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
Well, I'm seeing the Baptist church open on Sundays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, most of them have reopened.
All of them here in town have reopened,
I think. I think so, too. So another thing that we agree to do as a church family here is to study our Bible. Read our Bible. Because it will protect your mind and your heart. You know, Javier, when he goes into that setting at school, there's no way he's going to remain standing if he isn't in the Word and protecting his heart and mind. And then finally, regularly attend church and fellowship. You know, this is how we strengthen us, ourselves, our spirit, our faith. And this is how we hear the truth. This is how we are edified, how we build one another up. And that is done by regularly attending and worshiping. Okay, turn with me to the second to the last book in the Bible, Jude. It's probably about one page in your Bible.
By the way, we got two Christian soldiers working at Walmart, spreading the word.
Susie here, she's at the cash registers, and I'm in the dump. So, yeah.
Have you found it, Jude?
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. We're going to read verses 17 through 23.
This is how we're pulling it off.
It's a call to persevere. You may be feeling beaten down, crushed. You may be sidelined and feeling shy or just feeling like it's hopeless. Why do we need to do this kind of thing? And Jesus says through the Apostle Jude, but you must remember, beloved or brethren, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. So we are to keep ourselves in the love of God. And test me on this. Examine your heart as the week goes on. And maybe as the week goes on, you know, you're starting to feel a little less on fire for God. And, I got to come to church Sunday to, you know, just to be built back up. Or let's say you have to skip a Sunday or two for whatever reason. Examine your heart and see how you feel. And I would dare say you're going to feel a little less on fire and I need to get back. I need to worship God with my brothers and sisters, my church family. Mm-hmm. And he kind of concludes this passage by reminding us what's really important is we need to realize not everybody is going to be saved. And not everybody's going to be saved when they're 10 years old. It may be somebody that's 50, 60, 70 years old. And maybe they've lived the life of evil. But we are to have the same kind of compassion on them that God has. And to show them it's not too late. God still loves them. They can come to Jesus. And all of that history is washed away. God forgets it. He throws as far as the east is from the west. You know, I know we all know people that we think are beyond saving. They are so bad, so evil, so hopeless. They've told us so many times they don't want to come to God. But don't give up. You know, we might see that they get saved right at the last second.
I'll tell you, my grandmother, she was a very hard woman. And she would kick my dad and us kids out of her house when we'd go over there to speak to her about Jesus. And on her deathbed, she accepted him. And she couldn't even speak anymore. She was diagnosed with a cancer, and within 2 weeks, she went from a healthy woman to on her deathbed.
Wow.
And the night before, the day my parents had to take her to the hospital, my dad went one more time, and he said, Mom, I just want you to read this one more time for me. And that night, my grandfather called my dad and said, I have to take Birch to the hospital. Can you come help me? My dad and mom went over there, and my grandmother couldn't even hold her head up, and she didn't want to go in the ambulance. And so my mom and dad were in the back seat holding my grandma's head up, and her final words were to my dad. She said, Joe, I read it. And we know in our heart, we truly believe that that was her way of letting us know that I believe. And they put her in an induced coma and incubator, and tube, and I went to see her the next day before they're gonna take her off life support, and she opened up her eyes and she smiled, and that woman, I was 33 at the time, she'd never smiled once at me.
Wow.
So don't give up on anybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kim was sharing with me before church about her dad. He's coming to Christ at age 50, and he went from this real anti-Christ man to he was going to sell everything and go plant churches. You know, it can happen. And, you know, moreover, as Jude is saying to us, keep yourself strong in the love of God. Do not let Satan convince you that your faith is useless, that it's worthless. Do not let him. Do not listen to that.
Conversely, there are also people who are living a pretty good life, but living without Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they're hard to reach because they're already doing what they think is necessary. And my ex-husband is one of those people. He came to Christ at the age of 66. Wow. And now when you look at him, he's got the joy of the Lord all over him.
Mm-hmm. But these good lives they think they're leading, they have to know something's missing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, also, the devil lets them have these nice lives because he doesn't want them turning to God.
Right. Yeah.
He's not scared of them.
Yeah, you know, he's going to give you everything you want, your fancy car and everything and all. And, mm-hmm. and then what? When time comes, if they don't turn to God, then it's over. You know, too late.
So, you know, the good news is this. Jesus is returning soon. So people get ready. Well, let's gather around and pray for one another.